So, you know, one of the things that I think floors people initially about you when they first see you is your facility, your right hand technique, and syncing it with this. Where did that come from? Is that something you actively pursued? You're like, I want speed, or is it just kind of evolve? Did you have exercises you use to develop it?
Honestly, man, the speed is a mental thing to me.
Mm.
You ever been moving furniture and you drop something really heavy on your foot?
Yes.
You don't care about how heavy it is. You just want to get that joint off your foot because it hurts, right? Uh-huh. So for me, it's like if I hear an idea, if I have an idea, it may be fast in my mind. I'm not thinking about whether or not I can do it. I'm just like, just do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So whether it's fast or slow, just do it. Mm. It is, you know, yeah, you do have to condition your hands. I'll say that. It's not like you can just start off by just playing a bunch of fast stuff. Yeah. The more you play, though, the stronger your hands will get. But for me, I found if I know what I want to play already and I just try and execute it without worrying about if I have the ability to or not. Mm. You know, there's sometimes, dude, I'll listen back to stuff that I've played and I'm like, I don't even know how I played it that fast. Like, I don't even know how, but, and then I'll try it again and it's like a complete fail because, you know, it's the idea is gone. You know what I'm saying? But what you can do, it's really one of those things, the more you practice, the stronger your hands will get, but you don't ever want to overdo it. You don't want to hurt yourself. Even Goku said in Dragon Ball Z, training is important, but resting is just as important. Sometimes I'll take a day or two off of this bug and just chill. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let this, because I don't want to, you know.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it. It's a mental thing because it feels like for a lot of musicians, there's the things they know that they get at sometimes when they're alone, when they're shedding.
Yeah.
Maybe they get on a stage, or maybe it's just a different situation, and it's awkward. They can't reach that stuff. And the only variable is up here, right? Was that something, how did that evolve for you? Were you just born in a way where you're like, I'm just going to go for stuff? Or is that something you had to learn the hard way?
I was blessed and fortunate to be able to play with people that encouraged me to just be brave. And, you know, the guy that I was playing with, Eddie Brown, we grew up church together, and we just kind of, I mean, the way he taught was just play what you feel for right now. And even if you're not certain, just try it. You know, like, I feel like as musicians, we beat ourselves up a lot. And yeah, you want to play perfect and all this kind of stuff. But then there's a completely different side of it. Like the emotion of right now, you know what I'm saying? And if you can tap into that, even if you play something wrong, I'm going to make sure I do that because to me, there is no such thing.
Mm.
And I'm not saying, you know, start playing in a different key when you're supposed to be playing this key. I ain't saying that now. You hold on now, cuz you know. But, you know.
You got to know the rules to break the rules.
Yeah, know the rules to break the rules and don't be afraid to explore, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. So as far as the speed and all of that stuff, man, it's just a matter of just trying stuff, you know? That's what made me start venturing off and listening to music that has nothing to do with, you know, what we hear here in the United States. You know, I started studying Indian music and they have their own theory. You know, yes, everybody knows about Western theory. That's commercial. That is the most popular. But to know that North India does it different than South India, East and West is different. Sure. And then you got the central area, you know, then you go to the Middle East and they got their own thing everywhere all over there. Then you go, you know, you can go further east from that to like China. They got their own thing. Japan has their own way of doing stuff. Mongolia, don't even get me started on that. Like, Mongolian, Laos, like I can go all day, but just to listen to all that different stuff and see like, man, everybody got their own little joint that they do. Everybody knows about Western theory too, but you know, they're still keeping what's traditional for their culture, you know? So, you know, I guess growing up in church and learning how gospel music is all about feeling and the spirit and stuff like that, you know, it made it easy for me to appreciate when I started listening to the Indian music and hearing them play chords like, you know,
right,
like that. And
you can hear what's beautiful about that.
Oh my goodness, man. Like, now some people are like, well, what skim, what mode? Mm.
It, when you hear that, is it what goes on in your head? You kind of light up, you like an idea occurs.
Absolutely.
To you, a vision occurs to you.
I mean, it's in their eyes in South India, let me be specific. In South India, that's like D minor.
Mm.
But they'll sing like B flat minor over it. So but you also hear this G in the chord for some reason. So it's like, but they're, I don't know. It's
right.
Just, when I first heard it, I was like, all right, that's probably wrong. You know what I'm saying? But it can't be wrong because they all know what they're doing, and you got all these people singing over that mug and confidently.
There's a commitment to it. And we were talking about that earlier. The strength of your statement, it can make up for whatever might be wrong about it, right?
Yes.
I mean, there are other things in music other than the formal encyclopedia definition of right and wrong.
This mug is so much bigger than what we realize.
Mm.
And you know, our own insecurities and stuff is what can unfortunately make us start condemning all the things that we don't understand or the things that we may not like, when at the end of the day, it's like, I don't like mayonnaise, but it's plenty of people that do like mayonnaise, mm-hmm. you know? So eat what you like. If I go get me a burger, I'm just tell them jokers, don't put no mayonnaise on it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And that's okay.
It's cool, you know? Yeah. But if you want mayonnaise, you know, you should be able to get it. You know, and that's what I love about music, man. I mean, they do music different everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, man. You got, I mean, just in South America, like, everywhere they have a different type of swing and a different type of like, hump to their music.
Yeah.
All over South America.
I mean, even in the U.S., we used to have that, right? We had regional, we had the Cincinnati funk, there was the Cleveland
Louisiana funk,
there was the Southern funk, there was
the, you got the Mississippi blues, you got the
Texas,
Atlanta blues, the Texas
Atlanta,
blues,
yep.
You got the
Kansas City,
Nashville blues,
yeah.
The, I don't know how this happened, but the Buffalo, New York blues.
Well, it's cold. I get why they're
yeah,
they're
cold
blue.
Than a mug up there. So I get
blue.
That, you know, y'all Niagara Falls blues or whatever. But yeah, man, it's.
And our culture kind of flattens that out, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It does. You're right. You're absolutely right. But
yeah,
man, it's everything to me is just, it's mental and it's colors.
Mm.
You know, it's all about, music is all colors to me. It's all about taste. You know what I'm saying? You can play a chord, and a lot of times I like to pick notes that have nothing to do with the chord.
So you'll do that intentionally?
Play any chord.
Interesting.
Play any chord. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you. Okay. Idea that
right, and something will grab you,
yeah,
and you'll explore that
and just go with it, you know what I'm saying. And I know some people be like, well, yeah, but what did you what mode? And it's like, well, I don't know that that's what I learned from
did you
gospel.
Ever know, or you have you, is there, did you go through, I mean, were you born this way, or did you go through I mean, how, you know, a lot of people, because this is a very mature perspective on music, right? I mean, this
Man,
is something that comes from years of doing it.
It's literally just a matter of using your ear and being confident.
Mm.
And
that's church, right? Using your ear.
Church. Mm-hmm. And you know, it made me understand you know, Charlie Parker and them, they all had this saying, you know, learn the theory and then forget it. But when I started exploring all this other music, I get it. The older I get, more like, okay, yeah, they knew the ins and the outs, but the reason why they can go out of that and not care, you know, because that's what it is. You have to, if you really know, you don't care. If you know what you're trying to do, you don't give a flying flip about what it may sound like. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, to get there, you really got to discover who you are, you know, and I'm not saying like, you know, this is, I hate it when guys try and pressure other people into sounding like somebody else. Like, no, just do what you do, you know, and you don't have to start listening to this and this, this, that, and the other. But, you know, if you want to, you know, test yourself a little bit more, listen to it. Just see if you vibe with it. See if you like it. And if you don't like it, you can, nah, you ain't got to fool with it. But for me, I guess from church, man, I don't care, you know? Like, if I hear it, I'm going to try it. Sometimes it'll feel good, and then I'll listen back to it and be like, oh, what in the world? What in the world was that? But it's like, it was an idea. It's gone now, right. You know? And it was for that moment. It was for right then.
And you don't let that stop you.
Nah.
That feeling.
That's why even a lot of times people will be like, man, play that lick again. I have no idea. That mug is then came and gone.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's for right now. What do I hear right now?
Mm.
You know?
So trying to be present. I mean, just doing whatever you got to do.
That's
be,
it.
Be in that moment.
That's it.
Did you go through, when you were coming up, was there a time where you were checking out the cats you dug, learning all those lines, transcribing stuff, or just learning it by ear? Was that? Did you go through that period? Or?
Anybody that grew up with me, when I started to tell you, I was a John Patitucci clone.
Clone.
I mean, and I love Patitucci. Shout out to John Patitucci.
Yeah.
I mean, and not just him, of course, like Andrew Gouche, Joel Smith, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Victor Bailey, Steve Bailey, Victor Wooten, Marcus Miller, everybody, literally, Geddy Lee, like, Lemmy Kilmister. We can go down the list. Listen to everybody.
Mm.
But I, for some reason, I just was like, man, Patitucci, if I could mix like John Patitucci and like Victor Wooten and like Alex Al, you know what I'm saying? Mm. That's the kind of stuff I was saying back then. So I used to solo and everything sounded like John Patitucci.
Mm. Were you learning lines off records?
I wasn't transcribing. I could hear what he did and just do it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another thing I learned from church is and then too, another important thing that Eddie taught me was if I learn my neck and learn where every note is, I should be able to play whatever I want.
Mm.
And so we used to do stuff like practice blindfold or practice. We would be at the church at like 2 a.m, all the lights off, and we would be shedding for hours. No glow in the dark, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like just
using these.
That's it. And feeling where a note is. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I was gonna ask, but before you go on, I want to hear. But you know, some people are fortunate to grow up in that environment, right? Mm-hmm. They have supportive community. They have the opportunity to play music in church.
Yeah.
Where it really, the chief value is listening and being present. And hearing. But what do you advise people who just, that's not
for
where they're
the
coming from?
For the ones that they don't
What, how do you create that experience?
Let me be the first to say, it is possible for you to play more freely. Even if you didn't grow up in that environment where, you know, you were pushed into playing free and, you know, exploring and stuff. But what you have to do is you have to, you kind of got to throw away everything that you know right now.
Hmm.
That's the first thing. You have to throw away the idea that also that it's out of reach and that it's impossible. If you hear somebody doing it, then it's possible. It can be done. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? It may take some time, but it can be done. So throw away everything you know, and then take that. After you do that, you have to literally sit down and ask yourself, what do I want to sound like? You know, and preferably, who am I? Like, I don't want to sound like them over there. Like, if I were to solo over this song, or if I was to play this groove, how would I do it? What sounds good to me?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We all have our inspirations, again, I was John Patitucci, but something cracked in me when my buddy told me, he said, that's cool that you can do that, but you're just going to be a weaker imitation of John Patitucci.
Right.
That mug was a dagger through my heart, but I'm glad he said that because I wouldn't have been able to get the chance to believe that I could do something.
To be you.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm another human being. I can have my own sound. Even though you got all these guys that are my heroes, maybe there is some room for me too. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I could stand out and just have my own thing, my own type of sound. Whether I become famous or not, maybe I could just be different. So you have to realize that. And you have to forget that, you know, what this person is doing over here, just, man, that just seems so crazy. And it's like, screw all of that. Just what do you want to do? How do you hear yourself? You know what I'm saying? What kind of music do you want to do?
Mm.
And
I mean, part of that too is it's not even about music. It's about who are you?
Who are you? Person, yeah. Right? Like, who are you? You don't have to eat the same stuff that everybody eats. You don't have to dress the same way everybody dresses and stuff like that. You can literally be your own person.
Right.
It's okay.
And if you're, yeah. And if you're committed to that, that'll bleed into the music, right?
Dude, and that's honestly,
the music is you.
That's it. And the minute you finally really discover who you are, watch and see how many doors open and watch and see how, like, opportunity will come out of nowhere because there's only one you. You know what I'm saying? I could imitate John Patitucci, but I'm not John Patitucci by any means. I'm not Andrew Gouche. Them dudes are OGs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not Nathan East. I'm not.
Do you remember some formative experiences when you were coming up that helped to kind of, you know, calibrate the compass in that way? Like, you know, helped you figure this stuff out?
Well,
learning the hard way. Everyone has to pay their dues, right?
I mean, it was at that point when I realized, like, there's already a Patitucci, and, you know, I started, like, trying to vision myself, if I did have my own sound, where would I be in a few years?
Mm.
I literally would sit in my room in the summertime, wouldn't take showers. I would be just playing my bass all day, stinking. I would even skip out on meals, and that's rare than a mug for me. I was almost 900 pounds. I would skip out on meals and just sit there and think, like, man, you got Patitucci, you got Jocko, you got, you know, Stanley Clark and all these dudes, Tom Kennedy, like, they all got their own vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just look at myself like, what can you be? How can you sound? You know, and then I just started listening to a bunch of different music. At the time, it was, you know, gospel music and funk and R&B and stuff, but then I was like, all right, Indian music, okay, J-pop, K-pop, okay, mariachi music, banda music, ranchero music, salsa, tamboa. I mean, I just went down the list.
Hmm.
And
this is just because you were hungry to see what was possible?
To see, like,
what is music?
How you can be different,
uh-huh.
You know, because, I mean, I'm from Flint, Michigan, man. You couldn't turn on the radio and just hear some mariachi music.
Right.
Like, we had, like, maybe one person from Mexico in Flint, Michigan. you know what I'm saying? It was this girl that everybody had a crush on, right. But she was the only one.
I mean, for people watching that aren't in the U.S., Flint's the Midwest,
Northern Midwest, country.
Working class town.
Farmland,
yeah.
Country and grass and trees. It smells good because it's a lot of pine trees.
Mm.
Good country food. That's about it. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing there. You know, we didn't even have, we had to go to Detroit to the music stores and stuff, you know? But I mean, just listening to all of this different stuff, it inspired me, man. And it showed me, like, I can do something.
Mm.
You know, maybe I can come up with something. I like the way they do this here in this genre. I like the way they do this, man. I would love to, like, put those together. You know what I'm saying? My music right now is a mixture of video game and fusion and Japanese anime.
Yeah.
and Indian music. That's like all mixed in my music, but that's just me.
Let's talk about that, because yeah, the video game, the anime, that influence is strong with you. Was that from a young age? You were, and how would you describe that musically? What does it mean to be influenced by video games musically?
Okay, you know what it is. Video games, as well as film composition, there's not very many rules, as meaning like in a pop song. Okay, you got this chord, and then typically go to this chord next, and right. then you go to this chord, and then you go back to your one.
There's like some
stereotypes. It's like some formulas, sort of. But in video game music, it's all about trying to capture the emotion of somebody.
Hmm.
You know, if you're playing a certain level, like, okay, Mario, we can go all the way back when you got to fight King Koopa.
Oh, yeah.
Bowser
yeah.
or whatever.
Bowser, yeah.
Right. It's tense. And you got all this stuff like that. I'm like, dude, that's so dope.
Yeah.
And now some people, they don't really pay attention to what is really happening, but musically that junk is crazy. Like I remember me and Eddie used to think that Herbie Hancock was making some of the music on some of these games because it was so
crazy.
It was so out there.
Yeah.
Even the what? Whichever, I probably played that wrong, but just that idea alone was like,
there's nothing else like it.
Who came up with that? Like, why? But when you play the level,
it makes sense.
It has to be there.
Right. Yeah.
You turn it down, you mute it. No, you need to hear that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I got from the video game music and even the anime. Same thing. Film score, same thing. You know,
it doesn't take, you know, the other thing about video games occurs to me, it doesn't take itself so seriously, right?
Dude, it's very playful. Everything is about capturing the hearts of the player.
Right.
That video, it's a game. It is a game. Have fun. You know, it may be a Resident Evil, a scary game. We're going to have all this ominous, weird sound effect stuff happening, and you're terrified while you're playing that much. You know what I'm saying? But if you shut the game off and just listen to that, it's like, wow, you don't even have to play the game, but you're in it, in your mind, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking love video game music, man. Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, Pokemon, for crying out loud, man. Pokey freaking mon. Them scores are going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Which Pokemon? The cartoon?
The cartoon, the anime, the video game, but the video game?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Dog. Let me tell you, man, some of them joints is like Alan Holdsworth and Frank Gambale chord changes, but
we gotta get a
16-bit, bro.
We gotta get you to make a playlist.
I have a playlist right now. I have a playlist.
All right, we're gonna hook you guys up.
Dude. There's a reason why I appreciate and have such a high level of respect and honor for singers, because singers create in real time.
Mm.
A singer might not know not a damn bit of nothing. Let me say that again. A singer might not know not a damn bit of nothing about scales.
Mm-hmm.
Or even what key we're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do runs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They hear it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I said that to say this. If a singer can hear a chord and sing a run, they don't even know what key we're in and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy level of freedom to me, the way I'm looking at it. So why can't I do that? Why can't I create licks note for note on the fly?
Mm. Yeah, it's like, what happens when you pick up one of these and the instrument's not here, but it's here?
Why does it have to stop us?
Yeah.
You know, like literally they'll like take Well, she knows. She's got perfect pitch and everything. I was going to say Kimberell. She knows what she's singing. She knows exactly what she's singing. But the thing is this. She can hear it, and she'll execute it, right? Mm-hmm. In real time, you could play a chord. I don't care if it's like, I don't care what chord it is. It
she's
could be,
there.
She'll just do this run.
Mm.
Why can't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the key? How do you get that?
Yeah, what is?
This man told me, if you learn where every note is.
When you say learn where every note is, you mean you don't just mean what to call it. You mean
meaning like by feel. I should be able to feel where every C is.
Huh.
Feel where every E or E flat or A or whatever.
Do you have something you do that got you there?
So there's something you can do. I'll do it slow. How I figured this out, I have to do it slow because it won't make sense no other way. Take B, yep. Right? Where's all the other Bs on this one string? So if you gotta look down, some people gotta, you know, you can't just start without looking.
But the goal is not to look eventually, right?
The goal is not to look, just to get comfortable, okay? Right. So you know where that B is now. Slide up and find all of them. Every B, and then I know this is so time consuming, this is boring, but once you're done with B and you feel good about B, move to C. And then once you're done with C and you feel good about C, yeah, move to C sharp. And you keep going.
Chromatically?
Go chromatically, but then the other thing that happens is this.
Ugh.
Some people, me and you actually talked about this before. If people think that perfect pitch is like a superpower, it's a blessing, but even if you don't have it, you can help yourself get closer to it. To, you know, believe me, if you play C enough and you hear the note C enough, you'll know it exactly.
That's a C, yeah.
That's a C. You'll be driving in the car. Some come on the radio. Oh, this song is in C. That was a C that the bass or the guitar just... But you have to, again, turn off this mindset that stuff is out of reach. You know, like, nah, you can do it. You just got to...
Get out of your own way.
Yeah, just try that mug. But doing that, it just helped me feel where notes were. So if you were to play a chord... Like I'm not even focused right now on, okay, let me make sure I play this. No, I'm trying to note for note, boom, 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 boom. What is the idea? Just the same way a singer does. If a singer can do it, we should be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. But you have to see that it is a possibility.
Right.
And I didn't believe that this was possible, but I mean, all of my heroes, Frank Gambale, Alan Holdsworth, rest in peace. Like these guys would just get up there and just rip.
Yeah.
And you know that it's coming from a place. You know what I'm saying? So if they can do that, why can't the rest of us do it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like what you said. You got to get out of your own way and stop thinking that everything is like a mountaintop. I hate to hear people speak, you know, such bad things about where they are musically and like what they can't do and what they'll never
be. I mean, so many musicians, they spend almost all of their waking energy worrying, you know.
And if you say you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to. And I'm not one of them type of guys to, you know, look, man, I'm from Flint, Michigan. We didn't have no social media.
No.
We didn't have none of that stuff. But to hear all this different music around the world and see what people are capable of doing, that should be enough to show you that you can do something great. You don't have to be like anybody else. You know, nobody was asking me to be John Patitucci. You know, you may not even care about jazz. You may not care about metal. You may not care about rock or whatever. Just find what feels good to you and just go after that. You know what I'm saying? But be true.
Right.
Be true. Be true to that mug. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I probably sound crazy, huh?
No.
I don't know, man. I just, you know, we gotta speak more positive about ourselves. I hate when guys be like, yeah, man, I'd probably never be able to play that. Well, right. You keep saying that, no, you won't.
Well, and so much of this music thing is about what's going on up here. Once you have, once you could, you know, you have enough technique to get a note out of your instrument.
That's it, man.
And you know those fundamentals.
Figure out how you.
This is what starts to get in your way, yeah. Right?
It's the mind.
And it's the part, man. No one's really talking about.
Nobody talks about everybody talks about, and technique and all that stuff is great, but your mind is what's going to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can learn all of that stuff. You can get a master's and all this kind of stuff, but still be chicken foot. Mm-hmm. You know, when the spotlight is put on you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you don't, it doesn't have to be that way. You know what I'm saying? You can be confident and you can know what you want to play.
What are some other ways that people who struggle with that, I mean, is it surrounding yourself with supportive people? Is it,
absolutely.
What are some techniques because I know a lot of people struggle with this.
Being around people that push you to be better. It's like everybody is not fortunate where they have a LeBron James. LeBron James makes everybody around him better, right? And he brings the best out of everybody. Some people are in a situation where they're around people that may be narrow-minded, but it's okay.
They got a bunch of Kyries around now.
Oh, yeah. yes. Yes. Leave that on the tape. Leave that on the tape. Kyrie, you need to shut your mouth, boy. Yeah. You're talking too much. Yeah, you're talking too much. Kyrie, talking too much, but you're right, though, man. It's people that take the belief out of you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they take that drive of wanting to be better out of you. It's like a person laughing. If you're overweight, it's like somebody laughing at you working out while you're in the gym.
Mm-hmm. How's that
going? In the gym. Yeah. What are you like laughing at a sick person that's in the hospital? What do you want me to do? Like, I'm trying to get help. But what you have to do is you got to shut yourself off. I'm not saying don't talk to people, but you have to know that you can get there and you can do it on your own path.
Mm.
Some people got it. I mean, I was fortunate that I had, you know, him and maybe two or three others that was like, yeah, man, go for it. Just reach for the stars. But there were some people that was like, oh, nah, you know, you don't, you know, the pocket pays the bills and all this kind of stuff. Well, the pocket pays the bills for you.
Right.
But for those that have been paid to solo, you know what I'm saying? You just can't relate. Ain't nobody wanted to pay you to solo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's why I say we get too wrapped up and tied up and trying to, like, be Inspector Gadget at everybody else. Let me see what he's doing. No, just do your thing, man. If you don't want to solo, if you don't want to play math rock, and don't do it.
Mm.
You know, but when it comes to the path of other people, you got to... You know what I'm saying? You got to do that, or otherwise you're going to say some stuff and you expose the insecurities. You know what I'm saying? So the thing to do is you got to get in your room. And I highly recommend if you're looking for inspiration, if you feel like you don't have that inspiration, I always tell people, I ask them, what don't you listen to? What don't you listen to? If you're like, oh, man, I just haven't been feeling inspired. Okay, name me three genres that you don't really listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Finnish metal. Okay. What's another one? Bluegrass. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Bhangra.
Mm.
All right. Whoever's listening to this, ask yourself, do you listen to any of that stuff? If you haven't, then you may want to give it a listen. I'm sure you might find some inspiration.
Mm. That's interesting. I mean, the idea that music, I mean, inspiration is in music, right? And absolutely. I think a lot of people I've noticed, they develop an almost like an unhealthy, like a toxic relationship to music because they blame it for this insecurity, their ambitions, being their dreams, you know, and they blame music.
They
like
blame
it's music's fault for
music
making you feel better.
It is inspiration. And the cold part about it is, dude, that you will never be able to listen to everything. I don't care if you live as long as Methuselah.
Right.
You're talking decades of mm-hmm. music mm-hmm. that you can listen to.
That's just recorded music, too.
Just recorded music. Cool. Yeah, that's just recorded music.
Yeah.
Like, I had this, I had this period in my life when I was in high school, and I just was like, I'm about to start listening to a bunch of oldies. So I was listening to the Dramatics, you know, the Spinners, the Shy Lights, the, of course, like the Jackson 5 and stuff. But that, like, I was riding my daddy's truck to school bumping the Dramatics. Hey, you! Get off my mountain! And all my homies would be like, man, you a dinosaur, cuz. You a dinosaur. You listen to all the old people. But I was like, dude, this, the way they wrote music back then is so dope. And all these producers during that time, they're sampling this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why are y'all sampling that? Let me go listen.
Mm.
You better believe I got some inspiration. And that's coming from only listening to, you know, at the time, Missy Elliott and like Timbaland and them, and then, you know, Fred Hammond, whatever gospel and stuff. I was only listening to that. But when I said, man, let me check out Jackie Robinson. You know what I'm saying? Let me really see what Frank Sinatra is all about. And it blew my mind. I was like, dude, okay, I get it now. I get it. Mm. And again, that's just recorded music.
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling inspired,
find some music to listen to.
Find anything. I don't care what it is.
There's definitely something out there.
Come holler at me and I'll mm-hmm. give you like 10 artists that's going to blow your mind.
Mm. That's key, right? Staying open.
Got to.
You know?
Got to.
Especially because, you know, and I'm curious what it felt like coming from Flint, moving to LA. Now you're in the belly of the beast, right? You're
pretty
in the industry. How did that transition work for you, and how were you able to kind of retain this North Star?
I mean, to be totally honest, it was difficult for me when I came out here because at the time, it was a sin to be playing like a six-string bass.
Right. This is what, mid-2000s?
This is 2005.
Did you come out here to play? Like, you're like, I'm going to go to L.A.? And
I was coming out here to go to school for video game art design.
Oh, wow.
Like, music was a thing, but I didn't know nothing about it. I was young. I was 19 years old. So it's like, at that time, it's like, okay, if it happens, cool. But I didn't know anybody. I mean, how I even got into the industry was Andrew Goucher, first off. Like, he's the one who, my first gig was Snoop.
You met him out here?
I met him in my first NAMM show, 2003.
Wow.
And
did you all move out here together, or were you?
He moved, how many months later?
I moved.
Like 7 months later?
About 7 months later.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost.
Yeah, but.
Almost a full year.
Almost full year.
Not quite a full year, but almost.
Hmm. But, I mean, I met Gooch at NAMM, and when I moved out here, I hit him up, and he was like, yeah, come see me. And it was rough for me when I came out here, man, because I'm not from here. You know, mm-hmm. like, you can tell I was a country boy. I'm from
Had you been to
I
L.A.?
Talk. Yeah, I've been. I'd visited. I got family out here, but,
oh, okay.
you know, like, where I come from, we say cuz in blood, but we're not gangsters. There are gangsters in Flint, but we just be like, what's cracking, cuz? And that's not,
right?
You know, what's good, kinfolk? We just talk like that where I come from. So I was different and playing a six string, and it was like, oh, you ain't got no four string and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it was rough, but, you know, you just can't let what people say beat you up. I know that probably sounds like typical Disney talk, but it's true, man. People will hurt you the minute they find out they can hurt you, especially in a place like L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Just be honest. You know, this is a big city, man, and it's
cutthroat, right? I mean, there's a lot of people. There's only so many gigs, and there's many players.
There's a lot of people that are like, you're an outsider? No, you know, but I'm grateful, you know, because Gooch, I mean, this dude made a phone call, and next thing I know, I was in rehearsal with Snoop and Pharrell and Busta Rhymes and all these people was coming through. No audition.
And this is like, you just were playing at NAMM. You got into NAMM.
Dude,
and
I met him at a NAMM show in 03.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he was a security guard because I had my eyes closed, man. I was jamming. And it was this dude that sounded just like Rocco Prestia, rest in peace.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Imte.
Uh-huh.
And we was jamming. And I had my eyes closed, and I was taking a solo, and I opened my eyes, and there was thousands of people standing around.
Wow.
I'm 16, 17. I'm scared. I'm like, you know, what's going on? Why is everybody looking? And then back then, it was like the big camera. Yeah,
someone's following him with the holding the cord.
Somebody was like, had this big camera on their shoulder this. I'm terrified, and I see this big black dude standing out the window. And when we was done, he was like, you come with me. So I had my little Nextel, and I'm chirping my sister with like, brr, brr, trying to tell her, like, hey, the security guard is about to put me out.
Wow.
He takes me to this big guy with a beard that looks like Santa Claus and tells me, sit down and play. He took me to Mike Tobias.
Mm.
And then he probably introduced himself to me, but I was so terrified. I had no idea what was going on. Finally, he told me I'm Andrew Goucher, and I really learned how to pronounce his name because we thought his name was, I thought it was Andrew Gauchy. I thought it was Andrew Gauchy.
Gauchy, yeah.
I thought it was Gauchy. I used to like I go to church like, man, did you hear Gauchy on that record? He'd be like, yeah.
Gauchy's Gucci.
Gucci. I had that joke all wrong, dude.
That's
but,
funny.
You know, man, it was because of him that I was able to get into the industry. And then once I finally got in, I realized the people that's really doing it, you don't hear them criticizing a lot of other people. Nope. They're quiet. Mm-hmm. The people that are doing it for real, they cool with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop didn't care nothing about me having no 7-string bass.
Yeah.
He was just like, you play Gin and Juice right. That's all I care about. You know what I'm saying? You better play the bass right.
Mm.
And then when he finally like heard me play, he would be letting me take solos and stuff and all the stuff that I used to hear. Like, yeah, nobody, you better not ever let nobody know you can solo and that you can play chords. I'm playing with all these artists and they like, hey, can you play chords on this?
It just wasn't true what these people were saying. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. So, but it made me say to myself, I was like, dude, I'm so glad that I kept practicing like what made me feel good. And I didn't get discouraged and stop because I was afraid it would ruin my career or halt my chances. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got to do what you feel, man. You have to do what you feel. I know I'm probably just rambling and talking on, but I beseech you, my brother, do what you feel. Do what the mess you feel in your heart, man.
Yeah.
You'll feel so good to know that you did something that you really cared about,
mm-hmm.
that made you feel good, and it won't be a waste.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Something that you really love. I'm so serious about that junk, man, because I see guys come out here and go anywhere, and they just they lose their love and their passion for music, and mm-hmm. that's so backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Music should bring like new breath of fresh air to you. You know what I'm saying? But to see people lose it because they've been hurt,
yeah,
that's sad, man.
It is.
It's sad.
It is.
Sorry for preaching.
No, it's good, man. I mean, yeah. This is the truth of things. I mean, it's like you're going to bring your best self to the things you care about the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, that matters.
It has to, man. It has to, or you're going to feel empty.
This one life, right?